We're going to begin with the word telulos, which is an adjective. It's strong numbers 5046. The teaching's on becoming telulos, full grown or perfect. And I say in most of our lives, you know, there's no reference points of somebody who's being telulos. And it means whole, undivided, complete, full, unblemished, perfect. And it comes from the noun telos, which is the word end. So in the end times, that's telos. And so when you think of something at the end, that means it's complete. It's full. So we'll begin in Matthew 5:46, and we're going to look at some occurrences. So this might be two sessions, I think, so I don't have to rush through it. This will be part one. Matthew 5:46.
But usually
our standards in Christianity is so low. If somebody reads through a Bible once in their lifetime, they're applauded. And that's a sad, sad state. John Quincy Adams read through the Bible once every year.
Started when he was four.
Yeah. And so, it's just, I mean, why would you not want the nutriments that come from the mouth of Yahweh is beyond us? You know, so some people do have difficulty, but what we're going to see is what it takes to be telulos. So in chapter 5, verse 46 through 48, you want to read that, Melania?
Mm-hmm. 46. What reward have ye? And are not even the tax collectors the same thing doing? And if ye salute your brethren only, what more than common are ye doing? Are not even the nations the same thing doing? Ye therefore shall become perfect as
telulos,
as your heavenly Father is telulos.
Well, so Yahweh is telulos? Is he complete or perfect? Yes. And it says, if we love people who don't love us, then that we become telulos. Now we go to Matthew 19:21, as Yahweh is telulos. We know this was the rich Roman ruler, and he said, what must I do to receive life, age abiding? And he said, do the Ten Commandments. He says, I've done those. And he said, what else do I lack? And Yahushua said unto him, if thou desirest to be telulos, complete, we're going to go one other step. Withdraw, sell thy substance, and give to the destitute, and thou shalt have treasures in the heaven, and become ye following me. So there's another illustration. Now this person was called into the ministry. He's not telling us to do that. But if he did, then we should say, okay, because you're my sufficiency. I mean, how much more telulos can it be? I think of like George Mueller, who completely relies upon Yahweh for his everyday meals. Now we go to Romans 12:2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'll start with verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, through the compassions of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice unto Yahweh, acceptable, your rational, divine service. That's giving your life to Yahweh. And be not configuring yourself unto this age, which we're surrounded by, but be transforming yourself by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proving what is that thing willed by Yahweh, the good, and acceptable, and perfect. And there's telulos. So that's what we're supposed to be proving, to the thing willed by God, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. 1 Corinthians 2:6.
66.
2 verse 6.
67.
And our ministry is called Telulus, and our objective is, or my objective is, to put people complete in the knowledge of Yahweh and in the actions of Yahweh. So we know there are two kind of people, one who hear the word and don't do it, and the one who hear the word and do it. So that was the man who built a house on the sand, and when the rain came down, went flat because he didn't do the word. The other one who did the word built it on the rock, and when the rain came down, it didn't break them. And that's what we're trying to become, is that telulus. So we've got such a deep foundation, no matter what storm. Think of that with Donald Trump, on the foundation that he must have, because he is attacked every day of his life, you know, for these last 3 years. And George Bush and everybody else, any righteous individual who stands up is a target for Satan. And like Yahushua was. Paul was stoned, Yahushua was trying to be killed because you stood up against this evil age. So let's see, 1 Corinthians 2:6. Wisdom, however, do we speak among the telulos, full grown. Wisdom indeed, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are come to naught. That's what we're trying to do right here. Colossians 1:28.
Two or six.
This is what Paul's objective was, and Elijah wanted to read 128, Colossians.
I'm sorry, I'm not there. 2:6. Okay. Sir, 128. Okay. Whom are ye declaring, admonishing every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, in order that we may present every man complete in Christ.
And there's telulos, complete. So we've seen it, mature, perfect, complete. Hebrews 5:14.
Page 226.
Good. Now let's just start in 13. Now let's start in 12. For even when you ought to be teachers by reason of the time, again have you need that one be teaching you what are the first principles of the oracles of Yahweh, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong food. And it's called babes. For everyone partaking of milk is unskilled in the discourse of righteousness, for he is a babe. But to such as are mature, or telulos, pertaineth the strong food. We can handle this stuff. We're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. We'll see. To them, by reason of habit, have their organs of perceptions well trained for discriminating both good and evil. So we can see good and evil very easily. We divide it because we have the word. James 1.
Hebrews James
1, verse 2. And it has telulos in here quite a few times.
Page 234.
Two through four. All joy accounting it, my brethren, whensoever you fall in with manifold temptations, taking note that the proving of your faith worketh out endurance. Let your endurance have mature, and that is telulos, work, that you may be telulos and complete in nothing coming short. And we go to James 3:2. This is the good one about the tongue. For oft we are stumbling, one and all, if any one in word does not stumble, the same is a telulos man. Do you contain your words? Do you stop? Do you just unfilter yourself and say whatever comes to your head? The telulos person controls their tongue. The same as a telulos man, able to curb even the whole body. So, in James it says, if you can control your tongue, you control your whole body. That's like a ship with a rudder. It's a small thing, but it completely controls that. Now we go to the thing where we're going into on the telulos, is Ephesians chapter 4. we're in a very unique circle. I'm very small, and so it's so important that generationally people carry on the flag and become telios in Christ, and so this generation can teach this generation, which can teach these generations. And so most generations, speaking in tongues and interpreting, which was done by the way ministry, in most families is done with the father and mother. Because the father and mother stop, and they don't teach their children. And so it's gone forever until next time somebody actually believes the word. So it's important for us, you know, here's my son, you know, Cayman and Izzy and Shauna, and teaching their children and you, so you can be, when the winds come, like against Donald Trump, and when you're attacked, you can just stand firm and not be as the scribes, but you can talk with all confidence that people are astounded on the surety that you have, the confidence that you have. And that's what they did with Yahushua. So Ephesians 4, we're going to read, and this is about the accumulation of the pinnacle of Christianity. And we have the Holy Ruach that we're going to see in 2 Corinthians 3 that actually, as Moses reflected Yahweh, when he talked to Yahweh, where he had to put a veil over his face, that was poor in relationship to what we can do today. Where people, we can reflect Christ, and Christ is shining forth a lot greater than Moses was shining forth. Wow, that's a high thing that's available. But, okay, we're going to start Ephesians 4, 1. I exhort you, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowness and meekness, which is that's the foundation. So we're supposed to be telulos, but it's servants. With long-suffering, bearing one with another in love. So we're going to be around a lot of Christians that we have to bear with. Giving diligence to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the united bond of peace. So many times we, you know, even though they believe in Trinity or something else, what we can do is still interject, if they allow us to, that in other areas of their life, that we have a oneness in the Spirit, the united bond of peace. One body, one Spirit, even as you are all so called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one immersion, one Elohim and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. To each one of you, however, hath favor been given. And a good illustration is off the subject. We have Christian institutions that will not allow us around. And so many times those could be occupied by the adversary, the churches. So we've been asked not to come to certain organizations. Other organizations have told us not to pray, but we can come. And so that's fine too. Wherever we can do it, until Yahweh tells us we don't have to come anymore because we don't believe in the Trinity. And to them, you know, and that's our adversary. So it's reversed it. So if you believe the Bible, you're in the wrong.
You're an unbeliever.
I mean, if you believe the Bible, you're in the wrong. If you believe what the Christian church today is teaching, then you're in the right. We're going to call you Orthodox. So the Bible is actually the problem. But they say they put, and we're going to see, they say they love the Bible. Back at 7, to each one of you, however, hath favor been given according to the measure of the free gift of the Christ. Wherefore he saith, ascending on high, he took captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this he has ascended. What is it save that he also descended into the under parts of the earth? He that descended is he also ascended over above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some indeed to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers. Why? Why do we have these positions? With a view to the fitting of the saints for the work of serving, of ministering. Ministering means, as the first time a minister, it means you're a servant. So these operations, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, are there to teach the body how to serve. For the work of ministry, for upbuilding of the body of the Christ, until we all advance into the oneness of the faith and the personal knowledge of the Son of Yahweh. Into a man of what?
Telos.
Into a man of full growth. That's what we want. You know, think of it, a man of full growth. Who wants to be a child all their life? And you've seen adults, right, who never progressed past that. And they could be 80 years old. They're still children. They never became full grown. They can't control themselves. They don't do what doesn't feel good. And exercise and things like that, they don't do exercising because it doesn't feel good. And they don't control themselves on their diet because they eat stuff that will kill them. And obesity. And so they're just children. Into a man of full growth, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. Why? That we may no longer be what?
Infants.
Bill-tossed and shifted around with every wind of teaching in the craft of men and knavery suited to the artifice of error. And that's what we're going to be addressing. Now look at this. What happens to these people? They're billow-tossed and shifted around with every wind of teaching. And the craft of men, which is, who's behind those men? Satan. In knavery, suited to the artifice of errors, but we're supposed to be pursuing truth, may in love grow into him in all things who is the head, Christ. So this teaching is to become telos, we must understand the deceiver and the deception that is happening. Our adversary is a master at it. And the great deceiver, he's called the great deceiver. And he's got Christians, or let's say he had Jews who are waiting for the Messiah, kill the Messiah.
They're waiting for the Messiah so they could kill him.
How good are you? Where you have somebody who says they're waiting for the Messiah, and you have them kill their own leader. And that's called deception, because the people didn't know the scriptures. And what is our adversary's main focus? Is the word of Yahweh, to corrupt it. And so in Genesis 3:1, he said to Eve, "Did God say?" And so when Yahweh says, if you eat of the tree of this, you're dying, you shall die. You want to stand up? You might go ahead and stand up for a second back here. You know, your fight, sleep, whatever. And when you get it, but dying, you shall die. And then he said, did God really say, or Elohim really say this? And so he questions and takes away. And then he says, in complete contradiction, at the end, he first makes you question it. And then at the end he says, you shall not surely die. Well, that's the same teaching of the Christian church today. They say nobody dies. It's just your body dies, but your soul is immortal, that just goes on. So the Christian church is teaching the same lie that our Satan is teaching. And that's done by all churches. And when the adversary with Yahushua was in the wilderness, he knows scripture. And he can take scripture out of context. So these are the two ways that he works. Because he says, the adversary said to Yahushua in Matthew 4:6, for it is written. And then he quotes a psalm. You know, throw yourself off and your angels, messengers will not let your foot dash against the stone. And then Yahushua goes, oh, bravo. But
it is also written,
thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy Elohim. So the adversary, through these institutions, are going to use scripture to corrupt us. And that's it, the corrupting of the word of Yahweh. It's so simple to stop it. So we're going to go how important this is in Deuteronomy 4, 1 verse 2, page 202. So when we're talking to people, we hold their foot to the fire, which means when they make a statement, you say, what chapter and verse are you saying? You know, when a person says Trinity, you say, what chapter and verse are you saying? Well, it's not in there. Then it should be in your conversation. You know, or God the Son. God the Holy Spirit, Mother of God. And we're going to go through a whole list of these. Saying these are all man-made contraptions. And actually, you are cursed. They are cursed. But that's our adversary that now exalted what man has said, and they're following men instead of the word Yahweh. So Deuteronomy 1, and read 1 and 2, Esther.
Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4.
Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Loud.
Now therefore, O Israel, hearken unto the statutes and unto the regulations which I am teaching you to them, to the end ye may live and enter the possesses the land which Yahweh the God of your fathers has given unto you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I am commanding you, neither shall ye take away therein, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahweh your God which I am commanding you.
Very simply, you cannot add to the word and you shall not take away. And that's the same with the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
It's a foundational rock, and we're going to see they do it all the time. Yeah. The quote-unquote, when I say Christian, it's really a facade, is adding words and taking away words all the time. That's part of their M.O., which we're told not to. And obviously we know in Galatians 1, 7 through 8, it says, if anybody else says anything else that I have not said, let him be what?
Accursed.
Accursed. He will be accursed. And he said it twice. If anybody adds to what I have said, let him be accursed. Now we're going to get into how our thoughts communicate to us, but by words. The vocabulary and words are what communicate information. And so what we're going to see is the corrupting. So our adversary has got to corrupt these words, and that's what he did with Eve, and that's what he's done all the way through the whole word, is corrupt that. So we're going to see one of the first corruptions, and this was done in 250 B.C., before Christ. We're about 250 years, I think, as a nation, the United States. Well, 250 years before Christ, there is something called this. Focus in on that. Zoom in on that title. Tell me when you got it.
You got it.
Okay, then you can back off. That's called the Septuagint. So that was the beginning. And there's somebody in Alexandria, Egypt, and they were Greeks, and they wanted the Old Testament, the Hebrew book, translated so they could read it. So you have people, supposedly 70 people, translate the Hebrew into Greek. Well, what they ended up doing is they ended up erasing Yahweh 250 years before Christ. And so in Genesis 2:4, let's just go to Genesis 2:4. This is the first usage of the word Yahweh. And don't think these are coincidence. These are just a bad situation. 2:4. We had Elohim. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day when what?
Yahweh
Elohim made earth and heaven.
Genesis.
You know who people say made earth and heaven today?
Jesus.
Jesus. You know what the Septuagint says on this? The Lord God. So they changed the word Yahweh to Kurios. That's the Greek word for Lord. Is Lord a name?
Mm-mm. No.
Is Yahweh a name?
Yes.
Yes, it is. And so by doing that, they erased Yahweh. And so what you have, and so you can say, well, Jesus is Lord. And so when it says Lord God, well, that's Jesus. Now, so Yahweh was used over 6,800 times in the Old Testament. How many times in the Septuagint is it used?
Zero.
Zero. Gone. 250 years before Christ. Now, if Hebrews still had the Hebrew Bibles, they could see Yahweh. But the people who did not have the Hebrew Bible, Yahweh is erased. That's the Septuagint. There's also something called misdirection also on deceiving people. And in the Democratic Party is a master of this. and they're really workers of our adversary, they're workers of Satan, calling something opposite of what it is. And so they say Obama is afforded care, medical, it's the opposite, it's unaffordable care. So whatever they say, if they say that they want equality for people, they want inequality for people. And all that's always has one focus, one thing that every one of these deceivers do is it's always against Christ to get rid of the Bible. And so I'm going to make a church, make them have abortions, and pay for abortions. I'm going to make the church have homosexual ministers. And then finally, with communism, then what we do, what happens to the Bible in communist countries?
It's illegal.
It's illegal. Because you got to get rid of it. Because it's going to enlighten people. And so that's what they try to do. But we see in Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah 5:20. And these are the techniques. So what we're learning is the techniques. And actually to see how deceived we are already. I was talking to Austin about our school system deceives us. Because in our public school system, when we get A, B, C, D, to us, you know, an A is a 90th percentile, a B is an 80th percentile, a C is a 70th percentile, and a D is below 60, and an F is 50 or below, very simply. And so when a kid gets a grade card, they don't go up on those skills anymore, but they don't tell the parents because that would mean they're failing. So now in a public school, a person can get a 30%, that means he gets 70% of the answers wrong, and get a C. And that's called deception, and that's our public school system, which is also an instrument to corrupt our generation because the Bible's gone, and homosexuality is taught with teachers. Now you got homosexual teachers, and you've got sex education classes, which are not sex education. They're trying to encourage children to have sodomy, homosexuality. But Isaiah 5:20, and this is what we're talking about. Alas for them who call what?
Evil
good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Good to memorize, because that's exactly what they do, and that's exactly what Satan says. Alas for them who call evil good and good evil. So they'll say, you know, it's amazing.
Sodomy's gay.
Yeah, they'll say, yeah, and I just heard a pastor say this, and this is, you know, this is on the radio, and how to work with your children. And many young people cohabitate. Now, what does cohabitate mean?
Fornicate.
It means fornication. What sounds better? Cohabitate, which is, it has nothing to do with sex. Cohabitate means people are living in the same deal. Now, if they're brothers or sisters or family, we're cohabitating right now. But what it's saying is people are fornicating outside of marriage, but even the pastor would not say fornicate. And that's the pastors today. Let's see here. Now we go to the present corruption of language. I'm going to show you just some examples.
Sexual immorality.
Yeah, and we can see that it's called an affair instead of adultery. Instead of sodomy, and even pastors don't want to say sodomy. They'll say gay marriage. They won't even say homosexual all these times. So what the adversary does is he controls the dialogue. And so they use the words, and then you start repeating what they're saying. Climate change, used to be global warming. And so they say it enough, everybody repeats it. And now they've got you programmed with incorrect vocabulary. So here's just a little example of how we are deceived today. The word addicted, you know what it means? Now this is the English language. Let me say it first. There are two meanings. Yeah. One is the true meaning, and it comes from a Latin or Greek usage word, and then the vulgar meaning. And it's interesting, we hear the word vulgar, what would you think, Austin? Be nasty?
Yeah.
Okay. The word vulgar means common. That's all. But now vulgar means, that's what the word means. Now it means making explicit and offensive references to sex or bodily functions, coarse and rude, indecent, offensive.
That's a vulgar definition of vulgar.
And so most of what we even have learned and how we hear the words are not correct. They are the vulgar usage, and the dictionaries are wrong. Now, before we begin, all of us need to get this as a foundation. We have to anchor ourselves to truth. This is called the origin of words, and it's an etymology, which it shows you where it comes from. And then, dictionaries are not true definitions. They are the vulgar definitions, which change all the time. Now, here's another one. This is a dictionary on just half of S. So this is the Oxford English, and it goes back to the English language from the very beginning. So I have 13 of these for the English language. So it shows you what's lacking. And that's just half of S. So S is this big, just the letter S on how much information. And so what we want to do is get anchored, which the word we're going to show even on the English language too, of the problems that we have. Addicted means to say or bound. It has nothing to do with drugs. Argument makes, what would you say argument means?
To fight.
Argument means to make clear proof. A lawyer argues his case, which makes it clear. But mercenary, what do you think a mercenary is?
Someone for hire.
It is a hireling, but it's nothing to do with military. And so to us right now, a mercenary is military. Apology means to, what would apology mean?
Say sorry or something.
It does not mean that. It means to defend. So I defend this book. That's apologia. It has nothing to do with saying you're sorry. Adore means to speak. Instinct, you know, animals have instinct, means to instick. It has no bearing on the word. Nature, what do you think nature means? It means birth, born. And that's why it's called a nativity.
Mother born is Mother Nature?
Yeah. Nature is born.
What do you mean?
Advertisement means turn towards. Awesome is fearsome. Awe is the word fear. Furniture means to furnish. So the earth is, furniture of the earth, there's mountain and trees. Atonement is that one meant, magnanimity is greatness of mind. Passion, what would you say passion means?
Suffering.
Okay, it means to suffer. So what's your passion? It's the wrong word. It's, passion is suffering. Vulgar is common. Let me see. Eternal is age. Obnoxious is exposed to harm. Stereo means solid. Secular means age. Prejudice is in advance judgment. Let me ask you something. Are you prejudiced? Absolutely. And I'm proud of it. If I see a bunch of Doberman pinchers down here, I prejudge that I'm not going to walk down that place. Is that, that's prejudging, right? Prejudice. If I see a bar that has a lot of motorcycles parked in front of it, I could say, I'm not going in there. That's prejudice. And being prejudiced keeps us alive, is what it comes down to. If I go into a neighborhood where they got plywood over the windows and doors, I know I'm in the what?
Streetlights.
Wrong neighborhood. And that's prejudice. Yes. So are you prejudiced? You're prejudiced. Absolutely. I prejudge. I prejudge every day, and it keeps me from all sorts of harm. Husband means householder. Organ is tool or instrument. So your organs, your heart, are called organs or tool or instruments. Fickle, have you ever heard the word fickle? Means to deceptive. It has nothing to do with religion. Means to rebind. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So, you know what a ligament is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's in the word religion. R-E-L-I-G-I-O-N. And re means to do it again. To rebound or rebind. So even the word religion has no bearing on what we're talking about. That's not what the word means.
What's no bearing mean?
Yeah, to bind.
What would we use in place of?
A cemetery means put to sleep. Same as dormitory. That's what a cemetery means. Worship is worthiness. Spirit is what? Breath, air, and motion. We don't think of that. Though. That's what it is. And you know, you got a pneumatic. Anything air power is pneumatic. You got a pneumonia. That's the Greek word for pneuma. That is pneumatic powered. Ignore is not know. You know, you're ignoring me. No, I know you. Meteor is lofty. Liquor is fluidity, to flow. Has nothing to do with, nothing to do with alcohol.
So licorice?
Yeah, it's just liquor means, as we know, that's where we get the word liquid. From liquor. You know, so, we are that deceived already by coming in here, but nobody has told us that the dictionaries are wrong. So when a person says something, are you talking about the vulgar usage or the true usage? Clarify yourself. And so it really gets important when we get into English words here, you know, that are wrong, and are you defining according to the true usage or to the vulgar usage? When you say God is awesome, are you saying he's fearsome or are you saying he's wonderful? The word is fear. That's what they want you to say, he's wonderful, because fearsome is not it. So, that's where we begin. Now, oh, I wish I had my phone.
I have one.
Give me your phone. And just say, okay, passion, you know, here's a very good thing for viewers to do, too, is you go to Google and say, passion defined. Go ahead. Let's see what it says.
Define passion.
Loud.
Here's the definition of passion. Strong and barely controllable emotion.
Okay, now say passion etymology.
Passion etymology.
Check out this info.
No, is it
E-T-Y-M-O-L.
Okay, that's good. What's it say? It's... see, passion is to suffer. It didn't say it, but that it is to suffer, and that's where we get the passion of the Christ. I have to say here, and so you know, even got passion and intense sexual love, strong and barely controlling emotion. That has nothing to do with the word passion, and also rage, blind rage fits, and it's the word suffer. So compassion means to suffer with. If I have compassion for somebody I suffer with. So, you can look up a word, and all you have to do is say the word and then say etymology.
Etymology.
E-T-Y. You have to really pronounce etymology. It, because it's going to say, it's going to a lot of times put an A-T-Y, and it gets it wrong. E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G-Y, etymology. And a lot of times Google will tell you. And you'll see a complete diametric, and that is the foundation from the Latin and the Greek usage. The Christian church, go a little bit further, right? The Christian still church speaks gibberish. And so what we have, what we start looking at is when words don't mean something, so gibberish means meaningless, nonsense, and the word gibberish. And so gibberish means makes no sense whatsoever. And here's just some examples. And that's from our adversary. And then people repeat that because everybody else is repeating it. Can a son not have a father? This is the same definition. Can a son not have a father? No. He has to be born. There has to be a sperm. There has to be a sperm. There has to be an egg. Can a son not have a father? Well, they're going to say Jesus was never born. And so he can't be a son then. Because he didn't come from the Father. He was never born. He's God. So, you know, can a father and a son be the same person? No. That's called gibberish. See, it's gibberish. And they're going to say they are. Father and Son are the same person. You can't be a Father and the Son at the same time. Well, what is that? That's nonsense.
Yeah, exactly.
Can a Son have no beginning?
No.
No, that's gibberish. This is what is being taught right now in the Christian church. Can a being be 100% God and 100% man?
That's 200%.
Which is 200%? That's gibberish. That's nonsense. If Jesus was God, then Mary was the mother of God. Well, Protestants are going to say, no, she wasn't. Well, how can he be God then? But the Catholics will say, yes. At least they're consistent on that. And if Jesus was God, then Mary was the mother of God. And guess what Joseph was? The stepfather of
God.
And what about James's brother? James was the brother of
God.
So James is the brother of God. Joseph is the stepfather of God. And Mary is the mother of God. Is that sense? If Jesus is God, then those have to pertain. But no, we're not going to do that. And that's nonsense again. So what they've done is created a terrible thing.
You want to like?
Now let's just show you something here.
God has to do this.
Here is the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, I'm going to do something else before we do that. Now you're going to see a great thing with Donald Trump. But watch the prayer that this pastor prays for Donald Trump.
Dear God, we're always looking for God moments. This pastor wasn't expecting to be praying for the president.
We have a unique opportunity today as a church to do what 1 Timothy chapter 2 says to do. Many of you may have seen that there was a call to particularly on this Sunday pray for our president. We don't want to do that just on this Sunday. We want to do that continually, day in and day out. So I want to ask us to bow our heads together now and pray for our president. Oh God, we praise you as the one universal King over all. You are our leader and our Lord, and we worship you. There is one God and one Savior, and it's you, and your name is Jesus, and we exalt you, Jesus. And we know we need your mercy. We need your grace. We need your help. We need your wisdom in our country. And so we stand right now on behalf of our president, and we pray for your grace and your mercy and your wisdom upon him.
Just remember, who do you call God? What's God's name?
It's Jesus.
Yeah. It's Jesus. Now he just says Jesus. Now he's going to talk differently at the end.
God, we pray that he would know how much you love him, so much that you sent Jesus to die for his sins, our sins. So we pray that he would look to you, that he would trust in you, that he would lean on you, that he would govern and make decisions in ways that are good for justice and good for righteousness and good for equity, every good path. Lord, we pray that you would give him all the grace he needs to govern in ways that...
And he says, Lord, who is he talking to? We don't know. He said the word Lord. I have no idea who you're talking to. Are you talking about Yahweh? Are you talking about Jesus? You know, they don't...
That we just saw in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that lead to peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. God, we pray for your blessing in that way upon his family. We pray that you give them strength. We pray that you give them clarity, wisdom. Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Please, oh God, give him wisdom and help him to lead our country alongside other leaders. We pray today for leaders in Congress. We pray for leaders in courts. We pray for leaders at national and state levels. Please, oh God, help us to look to you. Help us to trust in your word. Help us to seek your wisdom and live in ways that reflect your love and your grace, your righteousness and your justice. We pray for your blessings on our president toward that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So, now you pray in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
To who? You're talking to God. Now you've got him separated. And so what that becomes is the prayer becomes gibberish. And that's the pastor. That's supposed to be the shepherds. Now we go to Billy Graham. This is called Advent Devotion. I looked up the word Yahweh. I went to those sites. Let's just see the word Yahweh. People don't even know the name of the Creator, and these are the leaders. So I went to the site, and the Way Ministry, zero. Andrew Womack, zero. So you go word search, Yahweh, zero. Billy Graham had five. You see, here's the prayer. Prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name, Jesus, Messiah, King of Kings. So the Father's name is Jesus. Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh. All those are the same name. We lift our voices in our hearts and proclaim that there is no one greater than you. God, help yourself in our hearts so that we can fully receive you and hear for your voice when you call to us. That is Billy Graham. Billy Graham Bible is the Phillips Amplified Bible, Phillips Paraphrase Bible, which the Bible Institute in Washington, D.C. has it. And so I looked at it, and it's a paraphrase. It's not even a literal Bible. And that's Billy Graham. And he has pictures with Obama, with Clintons, which are evil people. Kenneth Hagin had zero. Joyce Myers had zero. Dallas Theological Seminary had two, using the word Yahweh. Southern Baptist Theological Seminary had many, so that was a good sign. Joel Osteen had 11. So these are the people who are not telulos. They don't even know the Creator of whom, and actually what they're doing is they've erased the Creator and put Jesus as Yahweh.
They gave him an image.
Yeah. And that's breaking the first commandment. I am Yahweh thy God, thou shalt not have other gods besides me. They break the first and the second commandment. Thou shalt have no images. Do we have images of Jesus? Yeah. Do we have images of Yahweh?
No.
Huh.
But they're going to say Jesus is Yahweh.
Yeah, so I got it right like my pal. So they're breaking the first and second commandment. Those are the leaders. Now this is a Southern Baptist convention. And so we'll just start looking at what people are actually teaching. And these are teaching the pastors. So these are the teachers of the pastors. And here's what they teach. Gibberish. You got it?
Yeah.
The Holy Bible is written by man, divinely inspired, and is God's revelation of himself to man. It is a treasure, a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for his author, salvation for his end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. Therefore, all Scripture is totally true and trustworthy. Okay? All Scripture is a testimony to Christ. No. Chapter and verse. Who is himself the focus of divine revelation. God, there is one and only one living and true God. He is an intelligent, spiritual, these are ridiculous, intelligent. Are you really?
Catechumen.
And spiritual and personal being, the creator, redeemer, preserver, and ruler of the universe. The eternal triune God, is that any place in Scripture? Mm-hmm. Triune means three. Triune God. They just talked about the Bible being totally true and trustworthy. Is this the Bible?
Nope.
No, it is not the Bible.
Not in the Word.
The eternal God reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with distinct personal attributes. So they have different characters, but without the vision of nature, essence, or being. Gibberish. This is absolutely gibberish. It has no meaning. God, this is God the Father. God is Father's reign over His universe. God is Father.
God is Father.
Yeah, God is Father. God the Son. Now this is Christ is the eternal Son of God. Now eternal Son of God means eternal means no beginning and no end.
He has no beginning.
So if he has no beginning, can he be a son?
No.
So that's gibberish. In his incarnation as Jesus Christ, he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Jesus perfectly revealed and did the will of God. Now wait a minute. I thought that was God. Now is that gibberish? Then now we just broke them apart again. Jesus perfectly revealed and did the will of God, of himself. So Jesus perfectly revealed and did the will of Jesus. He ascended into heaven and is now exalted to the right hand of God. Well, I thought he was God. He's at his own right hand. He's fully God and fully man. Is that possible? You could be 50% God and 50% man. Or 25, 35, but you can't be fully God and fully man. Now, God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, fully divine. He exalts Christ. There's no he. So, this is the teachers. Are they telulos?
No,
they're not telulos at all. And actually, on the contrary, they are deceivers. Now, they can do good things, so there's either three categories you fall under. One is that you are deceived. Another one is that you are deceiving, and you know better. And so we know in many places in the Word, Christ would talk to the religious leaders and say, "You are of your father the what? Devil," as John 8. They said, "God is our Father." That's what they said, but reject His Son. "You are of your father the devil." And those are the guys who are teaching the church. So we'll do part two sometime later. Don't turn it off yet. And we'll go ahead. That's just part one. Telulos, becoming telulos. And we need people to grow up to have such a foundation where they can stand against these institutions. And you're going to stand as little islands. Because it's never going to be, in my opinion, never a mass, a flock to truth. Okay, so what we'll do is I'll have a give a word of prophecy for the people here. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. Be courageous and do not fear the future. Look to your future as a pleasant experience, as an exciting experience, because with faith, there is no anxiety. You are my sons and daughters who I've given great purpose to fulfill my will in your individual lives. I want you to grow up, and I want you to be strong, and I want you to be rooted and grounded in my truth and in my Son, so you can deliver people from the darkness that captivates not only the unbeliever, but the believers today. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.